Blog Talk Radio.
It ain't no use in no black trying to turn me around. Oh no, it ain't no use. No.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The song said, ain't no use. Nobody's trying to turn me around. And you know that's a blessing because we have to have a made-up mind with God that we don't let nothing turn us around. And I just thank God for that. I thank God for I give honor to God, His Son, Jesus Christ. I thank God for being here. I thank and I praise God for life, health, and strength. I thank and I praise God for blessing us to see another day, a day that was not promised, but a day because of God's grace that we was able to wake up this morning and see. And I just thank and I praise God for that. I thank and I praise God for the time that we're able to spend with you all on the radio. I just thank God for all things. I ask you to pray my strength in the Lord. Before we get started, I'm going to ask Brother Tim if he'll lead us in an opening prayer.
Thank you, Sister Marion. It's a pleasure and an honor. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just come before you, Lord, so humbly saying thank you for being our God and thank you for letting us be your people. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you and asking you to bless us as we intercede for our brothers and sisters that may be in need. We ask that you would bless our speaker today, Lord, our host. Touch her heart, her soul, her spirit, Lord. Allow her to just pour what you have poured into her, that she will pour into us, Father God, and to continue to uplift us and keep us and guide us. Father God, we thank you for your word that you left on record that is truly our guide, and we just ask that your word will come alive, saturate our hearts, our mind, and our spirit, Lord, and we just say thank you. Yes. We want to have a hallelujah
thank
good
you,
time
Lord.
Today in you, Lord. We want to praise and magnify and uplift your name. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Back to you, Sister Mary.
Amen. Amen. We thank Brother Tim for such a beautiful prayer. I thank God for that prayer because that's how we have to start our day. That's how we have to start our time on this program. And I just thank God for that. So before I get started, I'm going to take a few minutes and I'm going to open the floor. If there's any questions anyone have, a testimony, or anything that you want to say, the floor is open. Just raise your hand and we'll get you on. Amen, amen, and amen. So we're going to go ahead with our message on today. And we're going to talk about King David. We're going to talk about sin. So we're going to the 51st chapter of Psalms. But let's go through just a little background before we get started. Now, we all know about King David. And we all know that he was chosen by God at a young age. Glory be to God. So when David became king, our Bible tells us that he was sitting up on his rooftop one day, and he saw Bathsheba bathing, and she was pleasing to his eyes. So not taking in consideration her being married or anything like that, he sent his servant to go get Bathsheba. She came, and he laid with her. So the Bible tells us that Bathsheba became pregnant. So now, and when I was reading this, then I'm looking at this is things that we'll do today. People try to hide the things that they do. So when Bathsheba sent to David and told David that she was pregnant with child, what did he do? He sent for Uriah, her husband, from the army. He sent for him so that he could send Uriah to go sleep with his wife so that he would never know in David's eyes that she was pregnant by another man. But Uriah, being an honorable man that he is, he did not feel it was right for him to leave the war and go sleep with his wife and all the other men was out fighting, so he wouldn't go. He slept at the king's door. So after that didn't work, then David tried another tactic. He gave him food and everything and sent him home to his wife to enjoy that food, to eat, drink, and be merry. But Uriah, being the man that he was, he wouldn't go home. So when David found that there was no way he could get Uriah to go home, he decided, well, the only other way that this won't be an embarrassment to me is to just have Uriah killed. Glory be to God. Now, see, that is the works of the devil. That Satan hadn't got into David's mind at that time because he wanted to cover his wrongdoing. So he called his man Joab and told him to take Uriah, put him on the front line. And that's what Joab did. Glory be to God. So Uriah was killed. He was killed along with some other people. So David had him killed. Now, David, not looking at himself as a murderer yet, but that's exactly what he was. He was a murderer. So David, when he found out Uriah was dead, at that point, I was reading it again today, and I was looking, David really didn't have any remorse. He had no remorse. Didn't even at this point didn't really feel bad that he had this man killed so that he could take his wife. So after that, our Bible tells us that Bathsheba became pregnant. But you know, I know God loves us. He loved us a lot. But no matter how much he loves us, we got to pay for our sins. We got to pay for our sins no matter how much God loves us. So David didn't really have any remorse at that time, because the only thing on his mind was that he had gotten rid of Uriah and he was able to take Bathsheba for his wife. But look at God. Because of David's sin, and at this time, right, at this point, David hadn't even repented of his sin. So because of his sin, David's sin, God took the child. He did not let the child live. David sat for 7 days in sackcloth, praying to God. But you know what? When that baby died, David got up. Now, originally, he wasn't eating. He wasn't doing anything. But when that baby died, David got up. He cleaned himself up, and he went and ate. And you know what I do like about that, though? What I like about that, after that baby passed, the first thing David did after he got up, he went to the temple and he prayed. He prayed to God because he knew, he realized, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He prayed to God after the baby had died. But before that, Uriah had went to him. Nathan had went to him. God had sent Nathan to David to confront David with his sin. Glory be to God. So now Nathan went to David with a parable. He didn't just tell him what he did, but the parable made it clear what he did. So what Nathan said to David, he said, a rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nurtured up, and it grew up together with him with his children. It did eat up his own meat and drink off his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take off his own flock. Now, he didn't want to take what he had, and he had plenty. So he spared to take off his own flock, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that came to eat. And when David heard this from Nathan, David got upset. He was very angry. And he said, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Now, he got upset over what he heard. But then Nathan said to him, he said to David, thou art that man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now let me show you how much God loved David. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. He said, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if there had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. In other words, if you felt what I had already given you was not enough, I would have given you more. Now, this is the love that God has for his chosen people. Not only his chosen, he loves us just as much, but his chosen people. This is what the love that he had for David. Glory be to God. But he sent the prophet Nathan to David to warn him. But then David said to Nathan in verse 13. Oh, let me go back to verse 12. We're in the 12th chapter. Let me go back to verse 12. He said, for now this is what Nathan, 11. This is what Nathan said. Thus says the Lord, behold, I raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wife in the sight of, now see, because of what David did, David put a curse on himself, but God still loved it. Then he said, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David saith unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. See, it wasn't until Nathan brought this to David's attention that he actually began to admit he had sinned. It took David just about a year to even go to God in prayer about what he had did. Okay, and David said unto Nathan, sin against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin, that thou shalt not die. Now, that's how much our God loved David. Now, but David still had to repent of his sin. But Nathan let David know, God has already thrown your sin into the sea of forgiveness. Glory be to God. Now you think about it. We don't know what David said to God when he went to the house to pray after that David died, because the Bible didn't tell us. But God had already forgiven David, and to have Nathan let David know, you shall not die. Okay. So now, have you ever sinned to the extent that you couldn't shake the guilt off? All you could think of is what you had done. All you could think of is to repent to God because you're scared. You don't know what God's gonna do to you. So we as humans do this. But now the thing is, with David had quite a bit to repent for. For one thing, he had committed adultery. He had committed sin. And he had committed murder. So David had a lot to repent of. Okay? Now, the prayer of repentance was inspired by King David's sin of adultery, deception, and murder in his relationship with Bathsheba. Now, he set up and planned all of this he was going to do because he wanted this man wife, though he had a lot of wives, but he wanted Bathsheba as well. And that's pretty much how we work. We want what we can't have. Okay, now we make it to Psalm 51. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. This is David's prayer to God, because see, at this point, his sin was forever before him, and he couldn't get rid of it because he had not repented to God. So Isaiah 43 and 25 says, God is speaking through, at this point, he's speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sin. That you see what God said? God said, see, this is what happened when we repent. He's saying he's the only one that can blot out our transgressions, can blot out our sins, can throw our sins into the sea of forgiveness. But then he said he's doing this for his own sake. God wants us to be with him, so he forgive us for our sin when we acknowledge our sin and we turn around and repent unto. And see, God loved David so much. He had forgiven David his sin even before David came with his prayer of repentance. But you know, you do something, you do sin, and it can be so bad in your mind, in your heart, that you don't find peace anymore. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter where you go, no matter who you talk to, that sin will follow you everywhere you go. So David was began to suffer about his sin. But then he said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. See, David was suffering. He was suffering in his heart, in his mind. He couldn't get over what he had done because it was wrong, and he had not repented to God, even though God had already forgiven him. But we still have to repent. And in repenting, we got to acknowledge. We got to let God know that I sin, God. He said, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. So in other words, he couldn't shake off what he had done. And when you're sin before you like that, that's a frightening thing. That's why Nathan told David, you shall not die. Because David was suffering so much mentally, and when you suffer so bad mentally, it works on you physically as well. He was suffering so bad mentally, he said, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever for me. Glory be to God. So now, who is more worthy to hear our confession than God? Who can blot out your sins other than God? If God don't forgive you your sin, then you're in trouble. So therefore, that's why we have to go to God for our sin. It took David a year to confess of his sin. And it didn't seem to have bothered him until Nathan came to him for him to acknowledge his sin. Glory be to God. We can be so hard-hearted sometimes. So now, at this point, David felt like he was unworthy, and he pleaded for God's forgiveness and for his mercy. He pleaded for God to have mercy on him because at this point, he was suffering because of his sin. And not only one can help you in that suffering, can give you the peace that you so badly need is God. You can turn to drink it. It's not going to help you. You can turn to going out partying every day. It's not going to help you. You can try to hide yourself off in the room and not come out. It's not going to help you. The only peace that you get when we sin is to have peace from God, to acknowledge and repent to God so that he will forgive our sins and he will throw the sins in the sea of forgiveness. And then the peace of God will come upon us, but only after we suffer for the sins that we have done. See, David was suffering at this point. When he gave this prayer of repentance, he was suffering because he had did all of this. But then he turned around and said, against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Now, when you think about that, David told God, he told God, against you and you only have I sinned. See, what David was doing, he was doing it in secret. And David recognized, though I was in secret, God was looking at me openly. There is nowhere he could have went to hide from God, and he knows that. He acknowledged that, and he acknowledged to God, against God and God only, had he sinned. Even though he had killed Uriah, he had taken his wife, he had caused his wife to be pregnant, but see, this was one of God's chosen men. So he was acknowledging his sin. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. God saw everything David was doing, and God knew David was going to do it before he did it. But David had to recognize it's only so much he can do. He had to stay up under the will of God. But when he got to the point, seeking somebody else's wife, killing the husband, he was out of the will of God. But because God loved him so much, he chose to forgive him because he was a chosen man of God. Okay, then he said, behold. See, he coming to God, he's going to God with everything in him, acknowledging the fact that he know he sinned. See, the thing is, when we sin and we know we sin, yes, we should be punished for it. Whatsoever God put us through, we should be on our knees praising and accepting, because he said, whom I love, I chasten. Okay, so now, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David was acknowledging he was born in sin. He was acknowledging that. And when he said, I was shapen from iniquity, he was talking about from his very birth. We were born in sin because of the sin of Adam in the very beginning. And because of that, all men are born into sin. But the blessing is that we can be forgiven our sins. Now, I wouldn't tell nobody to go out and try to sing that David did, because whereas God forgave David, he may not forgive you, because it is a sin to know you sinning and then turn around and sin anyhow. That's not in the will of God. Okay, and then he said in verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So God desires for us to be truthful in everything we do. God wants us to add to have wisdom. In Proverbs, he said, if you want wisdom, ask for it. And he will give, no, that's in James, he will give it to you liberally and won't take it back. It says, upbraid is not, he won't take it back. So he wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to be truthful. So when we sin, if we're truthful, we're going to acknowledge that sin rather than try to hide that sin. Because what we got to recognize, God already know we sin, because he said hide, he see every nick and cranny on this earth. So there is nowhere you can go or hide from God. You can go crawl under the bed. You can go dig your hole. You still can't hide from God. So there is nowhere you can hide from God. But because of his grace and his mercy, he sent his son to die so that we could live. He nailed our sins to the cross. He died so that we can live. Then he said in verse number 7, he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So hyssop is a soap that years ago they used to clean the house with. I guess it could be something like hot soap, but it's something you could scrub clean with. So David was so deep in his sin and so hurt that when you're in sin like this, it's agonizing to you. And the only thing you can do is to pray for God to bless you to get through this, to forgive you for your sin. That's all you can do. And when we get on our knees and when we pray with our whole heart, not with just our mouth, because God not just looking at your mouth, he's looking at the heart. What's coming out of your mouth, it better be coming from the heart, because God looks on the heart, not on the man, but he looks on your heart. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Praise God. And right now, today, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the thing that you used to do, the sin that you was committed, God washes you. He washes you whiter than snow through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of his son, Jesus Christ that cleansed us from our sins. Then he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bone which thou hast broken may rejoice. He was so down and out, he couldn't even feel any happiness. He couldn't feel anything. The joy that God had given David, he had taken it away, and David was just like a dead man trying to get back to Jesus. He was trying to get back to God. Glory, hallelujah, because he knew the state he was in is because of the sin that he had committed. And the only way he was going to come back to himself and be what he once was to get on his knees, talk to Jesus, and ask God's forgiveness. That was the only way. And David knew that. And see, that's what we don't seem to understand. Reading this 51st Psalm can teach you in your own life. When you sin, where you say, well, the only thing I did was pick up the pencil out the store and then pay for it. Sin is sin. Well, I killed this man and didn't nobody see me, so I'm free. No, you're not free. God saw you. So you often hear people say this little white lie. I don't care if the lie is white, yellow, black, or blue. A lie is a lie and a sin is sin. If you're lying, you're sinning. So it doesn't make any difference what color it is. And when they say this is a white lie, because they're looking at it as a little lie. There is no little lie. All lies are lies. There's no little sin. Sin is sin. Because I stole the pencil and you killed the man, we both sin in the eyesight of God. Yeah, you may go to jail, but I never repent of taking that pencil that I could go to hell for. That's why I tell kids, people, and I taught my kids, anything you can't pay for, leave it alone. Anything you want and mama don't have the money. That's what I was telling when they grow up. Price it. When I get paid, I give you the money to go get it. Don't ever steal anything. Because that is not in the will of God. See, we got to be pure. We got to be like David. We got to be clean. And we got to be able to see God's face in peace. We got to be able to get on our knees and acknowledge our wrongdoing. We got to be able to look up to heaven and ask God to forgive us for our sin. I don't care if it takes you a solid week to repent. Stay on your knees and stay on your face and repent until God tells you finally, well done, until your spirit has been renewed and refreshed. And once again, you became a new person. Because, excuse me, because whatsoever we do, we got to go to God and repent. Even, I hear a lot of people say now sin's known and not known, and it's true. What you think was not a sin could have been a sin to God. So we have to be careful, and if we just ask God's forgiveness every day, then that's cover any sin that we didn't know that we committed. But see, this let us know how bad David suffered for what he did. He said, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquities. God had already thrown his sins in the sea of forgiveness. But David still had to repent. David didn't feel like David until he got God's forgiveness. Until he got God's forgiveness. And you know what? God loved him so much. After that first baby died that he had by Bathsheba, God turned around and gave him a son, Solomon. That's the love God has for us. That's the love that God has for the man that's quick to repent. That's the love that God has for his children. That's the love God has for his sheep, for his people, for the ones who want to be with him when Jesus come back. So we should always be quick to repent. Then he told God in verse number 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Glory be to God. That is some type of prayer that David sent up to God. That prayer of repentance was an agonizing prayer that David recognized his wrongdoing. He recognized the suffering he was going through. He recognized the suffering that he was going to go through even after he was renewed. Because God told Nathan to tell him that he was going to give his wife to his neighbor. See, what David did, he did in secret. But see, when God gets tired of you and you saying it, what God do, he's going to do it in the open. God will show your sin from the rooftop for everybody to see it. So we have to be careful. We have to do all we can to please God. So I thank God for this day. I just wanted to come through as I was reading this today. I just wanted to go through what David did, what David went through. It was not easy for him. God didn't make it easy for David. He loved him. He spared his life. He forgave him his sin, but he didn't make it easy for him. David had to repent. David suffered through his repentance. That's why he said in verse 12, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." When God takes his spirit from you, you walk around like a dead person. When he takes his spirit, it's just like you walking around just a shell of a man. And I don't mean take the spirit that whereas you're breathing every day, but take the Holy Ghost from you. When he takes that spirit from you, you walk around like a dead person. And you don't want to go through that. That's why I don't care how much suffering repentance calls. You hang in there and stay with it. Stay with it. Don't give up and let God know, Lord, I'm going to pray until you give me your spirit back. And that's what we have to do. I see I have a hand up. Brother Dahl, his hand is up because he's confused. Speak, Brother Dahl.
Hey, Sister Man, I got a whole list in this. I'm confused on first. I just want to say thank you for bringing the message, but with you bringing the message today, does that mean that God has his favorites? God has his favorites? I thought he loved all of us. Does he have his favorites?
Yes. Listen to me now. He loved all of us, yes. But he does have one that he chooses to do his work. David was chosen from a young man. When God sent the prophet Nathan to David's father, Jesse, to find a king for the children of Israel, he sent all of his fine sons before Nathan. But see, those was not the one that God had chosen. When he sent them all, then Nathan asked, "Do you have any more sons?" He said, "I have one. He's a shepherd. He's keeping a sheep." David was a better boy, about 17 years old. He should go get him. They went and got David, and you know what Nathan said? He said, "He's the one."
He's the one.
David was a chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
So now, it's not that God loves man, but he got certain ones that he have work for them to do.
Special
work
assignment.
That he know they can do. Now, you think about it. David being a young man, he had so much faith and trust in God. See, a lot of times in our young age, God deal with us and don't nobody even know it. You out there talking to God because you know there's a God, and nobody ever told you, but you know there's a God. And God was watching out for David even when he was a shepherd. That's why he was able to kill a bear. That's why he was able to kill the lion. David had so much faith in God, he felt like that was nothing he couldn't do because God was going to see him through. God had a job for David. That's just like the disciples. God had a job for the disciples, for them to walk with Jesus, to take care of his son, and to learn from him, to have faith in him, to trust him, to listen to him, to accept him as the Son of God, to accept him as the Savior. Don't you know, because, and see, there's only certain ones, there are ones, especially back in the olden days, you still got people that God give an extra job that they can do. But back in the olden days, they had a bigger job to do than what we have to do. See, we just getting the end of the message to give to people. But during the time of David, during the time of the disciples, that was a big thing they had to do because they had to take the Old Testament and bring it up to the New Testament through Christ Jesus, because Jesus was born during the time of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So he was in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because the New Testament, mind you, started at Acts. The Old Testament ended at Malachi. But you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the books that we read, that we learn about the birth, the life, and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's why you often hear Devo, you often hear Brother Tim, Brother Eric, all of them talking about the book of John. Well, they're right. When God saved me, listen, I had no man to talk to. God dealt with me himself. But when he put me in that Bible, he put me in Matthew. And I started at Matthew, and I read all the way to John. So, yeah, there are ones that have a commission on them. See, what all the disciples went through, the suffering, and two or three of them was beheaded, was hung, all they went through, they got a crown waiting for them. Because of the suffering that they did, what they went through. It's not that God don't love us, but we are not going through the suffering that they went through. We're not going through the suffering that David went through. You think about it, Brother Dahl. A young 17-year-old boy today, do you think they would do like David and run and go up against a giant and kill it? David had faith in God. He knew it was not him. He knew it was God working through him. He already knew.
That was a long answer for my question. I was scared to ask my other one then.
Well, you know what? I try to make it so thorough that you understand. But, yes, God loves you. He loves me. He loves everybody. And Brother Dog, he deal with us too. Look at you. You think you put these shows on your own? No, you did not. Because God touched your heart and allowed you to put these shows on. Do you think that these songs you play is off Dog himself? No. God give you these songs to play and touches people's hearts. Sometimes it's the listeners, sometimes it's our heart, but they touch people's heart. And oftentimes people will say, well, Brother Dolph, you always know what to play. That's God using
Tim, I hear you. I hear you back there, Tim. You're breathing hard back there, Tim. I hear you.
So that's God using you.
Yeah, I got a couple more things here I'm confused about, though. That was just one of them.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, when King David ordered Uriah to the front line, how can you consider that technically murder when he wasn't the only one on the front line? What about all the rest of the guys that was on the front line that got killed? So how can just because he ordered him to the front line, that's considered murder?
It was considered murder because it was a request coming from King David to have him killed.
It was in his heart for King. It was in King David's heart for Uriah to be killed, and he knew it. He increased his opportunity or his chances of being killed greatly by putting him on the front line. That was his intention. That's
okay.
What made it be murder.
That's why I said he conspired.
Yeah,
to
it was
man
David's
thinking,
intention to have.
So
well,
he.
David had him
yeah.
killed. But see, this
right.
is the attitude David took. This is what I was trying to find. Debo, you can come right back because I don't want to forget to tell him this. This is what I was trying to find earlier. Okay, in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, and just start at the 21st verse. Oh, wait a minute. Let's back up to the 22nd. This is after David had Uriah killed. So, yes, David he was a murderer. He said, so the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. Now, David had Uriah sent to the front line, to the dangerous part. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He said, and the shooters shot from off the wall of under servant and some of the king's servants be dead. And the servant Uriah, the Hittite, is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devours one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city and throw it and overthrow it and encourage him. So what he's saying there now, you just think about it. David had Joab to put Uriah on the front line in the worst part of the battle so that he would get killed. But then after Uriah died, and they came, and after he was killed, and they came and told David about it, he said, let not this thing displease thee. He said, tell this to Joab, for the sword devours one as well as another. Then he said, make thy battle more strong. See, they didn't have to put Uriah on the front line. That they did because David wanted him dead. He says, make thy battle more strong against the city and overthrow it and encourage thou him. So David was telling the young man that came to tell him that Uriah was dead. He told him to go back and encourage Joab. Because Uriah was dead just like the other men, other of his men was dead. But see, he didn't send to have those other men killed. He sent to have Uriah killed so that he could have his wife. Does that make sense? Did you understand between my answer and Brother D's answer?
I got it. I just wanted some clarification. I got one and a half more questions. Y'all got a lot of background noise,
okay,
but there, all that shuffling. Y'all got a lot of background noise, all that shuffling in the background, people. Just, if you go shuffle around in the background, mute your phone, please. You mess up the soothingness of the talk when you do all that shuffling. But anyway, Sister Mary, I got one and a half questions. I'm gonna give you my one more question. Now, with him, if King David was a chief, with Uriah's wife, evidently he know that he couldn't have her because he was somebody else's wife. Why would why would killing the baby punish King David? Why would that punish him when he probably didn't want a baby nowhere? Probably.
He was in the wrong. See the thing back in those days with David being the king and he saw Bathsheba, he sent for her. She couldn't tell him no. She would have had her killed. So she had to be obedient to that king.
That's
so
it.
Yes, God took that baby to punish David. Go ahead, Bebo. I'll finish when you finish. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying,
Go ahead, Bebo.
No, I got so much background noise. I was just saying.
There's a reaction,
yes.
Between all those things that you do, consequences.
I got so much background noise.
That was
a throw
consequence.
Something else at Brother Dog. To throw something else at you, you know, so a man thinketh, so is he. The word says what goes in don't defile a man, but what comes out. See, David spoke death on him. You see, that's what defied David. And truthfully, I don't believe, I got to go back and read that thing for myself, but I don't believe David really felt like he was in sin until Nathan came to him.
He didn't.
That's when
he realized what sin he had committed. He didn't think he did anything wrong. Yeah. You're right. But let me go back, Brother Dog.
Before you go back, still, I want to know how is taking the baby from another man's wife making King David feel bad? I mean, he probably didn't. I mean, how are they punishing him?
Well, first of all,
I need you to understand. Okay, I want you to listen to this, Brother Dog. I'm going to read this because I need you to understand. And I'm glad you asked the question. I love that you asked what you don't understand. Okay. I'm on the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. Okay. And I'm going to start at the second verse. The first verse just simply lets you know that David has sent Joab. Let's go to the second verse. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked up on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how, just a little talk. Verse 8, and David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house? And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul livest, will not do this thing. And David said unto Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abide in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunken, and even he went out to lie on his bed with the servant of his Lord, but went not down to his house. David got him drunk. He's doing all this trying to get him to go home to sleep with his wife. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set up Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men in the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servant of David and Uriah the Hittite died also. That's how he murdered him. Do you get it?
I hear you.
No doubt.
I hear
Do you get
I heard,
it, though?
I heard. I'll talk about that later. I'm not going to dwell on that one subject. I'm not going to dwell on the subject. I'm not going
to
dwell on the subject.
Now,
I just
want
one
you
final.
To understand it, though.
If I, Sister Mary, if I got a problem, I will call you on the backline if I got a problem.
Okay.
I got one more thing, and I'm going to get on out of here. If you done did something and did something wrong, and you done did something wrong, how do you know if God forgives you? How do you know if God forgives you?
When you ask God to forgive you, you can feel it. You can feel his forgiveness. Because up to that point, you feel bad when you did something wrong. You feel, especially when you know Jesus. A lot of people, Brother Dahl, they know they're doing wrong, don't care, okay? But you're doing wrong, and you know you're doing wrong. It bothers you. So what you do, you're going to repent, and you're going to go to God and ask God's forgiveness. When he forgives you, you will feel differently. You won't feel down and out no more. You don't feel hopeless no more. Does that make sense?
See, one of the things with forgiveness is that we hold it. You know, when the Lord said give it to him and ask for forgiveness, I've never read anywhere in the world where God don't forgive a man instantly. Our problem is that we don't let it go. So we feel like we haven't been forgotten, haven't been forgiven. But, we're a problem, not God. We hold on to it. We constantly talk about it and think about it. So if you're constantly thinking about it, you haven't given it to him. It's like he said,
okay,
bring your burdens to him and leave them. You take them to him, but you take them back home with you. See, we go to God in prayer, but we take the burden back with us.
And the Bible
says
this,
Brother
D. But when God
forgives you, you know it. He will let you know it. Go ahead, Brother Tim.
And the way you'll know that he forgave you is that by faith you trust in what he said. He said, when you have problems, bring them to him, and that he will put them in, like Brother D always say, he'll cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. If he said he'll do it, then that's what it is. It's been done. So when someone else tells you, they can't confuse you, because he said in his word that if you do what I ask you to do, repent and turn from your wicked ways and things like that, then he'll do what he said he'll do. That's why you know it's you. You may not even feel it in your heart that you are forgiven, but you know
yes,
by
you
faith
will feel it,
that
Brother
you said. I didn't say, I'm not saying that you won't. I'm saying if you don't feel it in your heart, like you're saying, I'm saying by faith you trust in his word. Feelings and emotions are one thing, but his word stands for everything. And if you trust in his word and that you know without a shadow of a doubt that he said it, then that already confirmed it. That's what it is.
Look what he told the young man. He told the young man.
I'm not saying you won't change. I know that.
He told him, he said, go and sin no more.
That's right.
He feels forgiven right then, as soon as he acts. But we don't want to hold on to our own sin. We hold our own anger. We don't let go. So we feel like God didn't forgive us. But God is a right now God.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you won't feel it. I know you will. But I'm just saying, even if you don't.
You'll feel differently. You'll start feeling yourself again. Because you feel down when you in sin, and you're not yourself. You always feeling bad. You're always looking behind you. You're just not comfortable anymore. You don't have no peace no more. But when God forgives you, you get that peace back. You start feeling differently. You start feeling yourself again. Can you imagine you in sin and you know you the sin? You're not going to be comfortable anymore. But when God forgives you, he'll give that comfort back to you. And like you all said, as soon as you ask, he'll forgive. He will forgive. But sometimes...
God don't need no time to think about it. He don't need no time to think about it.
Sometimes you have to pray a little longer. And the reason I say that, Devo, Brother Tim, Brother Dawes, the reason I say you have to pray a little longer, and I'll tell you how he did me.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing was, and I thought I had forgiven this woman. I hadn't. Because she was wrong. She was wrong, and I had a hard feeling against her. She was my landlady. She told me to move for no reason at all. So, of course, I'm going to move, but while I was looking for somewhere to go, I still went to church. We went to the same church. And the first time the pastor called me after service, he called me up to the park. I said, yeah, this is when I first got saved. He say, bring your offering to the altar and go to the person and ask forgiveness. And my thing was, well, Lord, what I'm asking forgiveness for, it wasn't me. He did that two Sundays in a row. And I did what he told me, but I didn't realize, I didn't understand that I wasn't forgiving her. I didn't understand that. And I tell you what God did. He made me understand it. He took, and this was after I received the Holy Ghost. He took his spirit from me. I felt like I was dead, Brother Dog. And I tell you what I did. I was at my sister's house. Wouldn't nobody ever meet. I started praying early in the evening. It got black dark in that house. I wouldn't turn on no light. And I said, Lord, I'm going to pray until you return your spirit to me. I prayed, I know, for a good 8 hours, nonstop, because I felt like I was a dead person. I couldn't function this way. And once God gave his spirit back, instantly, I felt it. Instantly. So I guess when we don't forgive, that's a pretty big sin, because we have to forgive because Jesus forgave us. And I didn't understand. I was a new saint. I didn't understand. But when God turned me loose, I understand now. So, yes, everything Devo done said is true. Everything I said is true. When you ask God to forgive you, he forgive you immediately. Sometimes for us to understand, it takes us a little longer. Did that help you out, Bird Dog?
I'm straight. I'm good, Sister Mary. I'm good.
Okay. Brother D, Brother Tim, are y'all squared away? Did y'all have anything else y'all wanted to add?
Man. Man, I just enjoyed the service this morning and got a chance to be seated again this evening. Sure enjoyed it again. but he's not going to talk much. He got a lot of background noise. I just thank God for Jesus for allowing us to do what we do. Thank you for putting on, as I said earlier, putting on Brother Bell's heart to be able to allow these things to go on. You know, this is not the place, not the setting to do praise and worship, but God is still God. That's it. God is still God. He's still on the throne.
Amen.
You can be in the depth of the sea. You can praise God. You can be in the midst of the air. You can praise God. And we just want to tell him thank you.
And he's a forgiving God, ain't he?
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Sister Mary, I get it. I'll just be writing down stuff and be reading stuff myself. That's why if I don't sound like I'm all that enthused, I'll be over here trying to get all my thoughts and everything together. That's what I'll be doing. So I'm good. I'm good. If
you know
I ain't
what
good,
I say
I'm
about
you, know.
You all the time? What I say about you all the time, what you want to know, what you don't understand, you ask. That's the only way you're going to understand it is to ask it. So I have no problem. I'm sure Brother D, Brother Tim have no problem with you asking no question. Anything
the
you want to know,
you have not
because
you ask not. You know what I'm saying? The words that we have not because we ask not. That's the word. We don't have the word, so we don't ask for it. You're asking for the word when you're asking questions. We try to fashion everything in a carnal-minded way. And God don't deal in the carnal.
See, he's seeking to understand. Everybody don't seek to understand. And if you don't understand the word, you don't have the word. You need to understand. So he asked him what he don't know.
Well, he said all
that
again.
That's why I went back and read.
You know, understanding.
That's why I read to show him how David was actually the murderer. Even though somebody else killed him, David had it done. It's just like he pulled the trigger himself. Were you through,
that's
Brother
it.
Tim? Did you have anything else?
See, he
to
did
ask?
It. He did it from his heart.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
That's why I said earlier, David truly didn't feel like he had did anything wrong until Nathan spoke to him.
He didn't. He really didn't.
Once he spoke to David got real sorry for what he had done. And we said, I've sinned against thee, and thee only have I sinned. That's what he said.
That's right.
David knew he was wrong right then. Before then, he didn't think he was
and
doing anything
him
wrong because he was the king. He was the king. And when you're the king, you control with everything. Everything was at your command. As the old people said, everything was at beck and call. Like you were saying about Bathsheba. She couldn't say no to David. He was the king. She couldn't tell him no.
No to him. Exactly.
Yeah, she couldn't say no. So that's why he didn't feel like he had done anything wrong. But once his sin was revealed to him, he took critically sick.
Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. Brother Tim, did you have anything else you want to add on that?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Okay, so at this time, I just ask you all to be with us again on next Wednesday night, same time, same channel. On Tuesday night, Brother D's Gospel Hour, same time, same channel. And anything that you all want to know, if I go into anything and you don't understand, please do like Brother Dawg. He will stop here, text me, and say, I don't understand. And you'll get that understanding by asking. You got me, you got Brother D, you got Brother Tim. We will all give you what you are looking for. And we're going to do it in the word, not of ourselves, but it's the word of God. And I thank God for that. I often say I appreciate that Brother Dawg asks what he don't understand.
Amen.
Okay.
I will ask.
Okay. Yep, that you'll do, and that's a good thing. I don't find no fault with that at all. So at this time, I'm going to ask Brother B if he'll close us in our prayer. And remember, Sister Gina said to always remember her in our prayer. Remember Sister Emily, Brother Sister Fan, Brother Tatum, Brother Michael Tatum. Remember him in your prayer, that God will, in our prayer, that God will make things easier and give him that peace during this time. So, Brother D, and as always, remember Brother Dog in your prayer. God, for give him strength, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He already had wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He already had it, that biblical understanding, biblical wisdom. Are you with me, Brother D? Okay. But Tim, go ahead and close us out. You heard everything I said. With a prayer, please.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this hour. We thank you.
Can't hear you. Speak up.
So I said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you saying thank you for your word. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for your love and your patience. Father God, we thank you for the wisdom in your word, Lord. And, Lord, we just ask that you continue to pour out your blessings on each and every one of us. Pour out your blessings that we may receive your blessing, your wisdom, your understanding, and your comprehension, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you continue to bless this show, continue to bless our speaker, and we just say thank you to Brother Dog. We love you guys, and that we just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We do.
Quit trying to read that, Sister Mary. Go ahead and you can read that later. I don't know what you're doing over there trying to read that.
As it was, thank God for this day, and we just ask God to just, Brother Tim, I guess he didn't hear me, ask God to bless our Brother Tatum, Sister Fan, Brother Fan, Sister Emily and her mother, just, and Brother Dog, just ask God to watch over them and give them whatsoever they need. Bring them closer and closer, Father God. Bring our Brother Tatum through this trying time that he's going through. Father God, give him that peace that he seeks, Father God. He understands you and he understands your will, God. Just give him that peace to make it through this time, Father God. And we ask you to continue to bless Brother Dog, Father God. It's just so exciting, Jesus, to see that he wants to get to know you. He wants to understand you. Father God, I thank you. We thank you for your word, Father God. And bless each and every one on the line. Bless their family, Father God. We thank you. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yes. Brother Tim, good.
In your hand, Brother
Don. You have to give him a chance to come off mute, you know. So, you know, he was doing good. He was doing pretty good then. He was doing pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
I'm going to leave you. In the hands of the Lord, oh yes I am. I got to leave you in the hands of the Lord. Said I got to leave you.
just one verse. Listen.
Samaritan. Ain't no better hands to be left in but the hands of the Lord. No better hands to be left
Amen.
In.
Amen.
That right?
That's the truth. That's
okay.
The truth. That's the
all
truth.
All right. Well,
man
like
can't
said,
hold
you
up, Kenny.
That's all he can't. And God would never turn you loose. He would never turn you loose. All right. So with that being said,
you.
Sister Mary, go ahead and get on off here and go ahead and take care of them kids, and we're going to see you next week, one way or the other. We're going to get it in there next week. We'll see you next week, Sister Mary. Same time, same station. One
all
way
right,
or the other.
Then.
Get it in.
All right.
All right, God.
Okay,
God bless.
Then.
All right. All right.
God
bye-bye.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
All right, y'all. Sister Mary and gone, and hit the one button if y'all got a little out of stuff to talk about. You know, it rained this morning, but it got clear, and man, I don't know why wheelchair didn't need to come on and talk about they got a race down there in, this weekend down in Macon, and yeah, it looks like it's gonna be some pretty interesting going on down there. I think old Tony Bynum got a couple three races locked in, so we're gonna go down there this weekend, and the weather supposed to be good from starting right now to the rest of the week. What's up, kid? Chicago
yeah, hey, kid. Hey, dog. That's
yeah.
This weekend, ain't it?
Yes, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said,
oh, okay.
I'm surprised who's
that?
Wheelchair
in Tonnell or what?
No. It's the track race, but you know, wheelchair is the ambassador down there. Wheelchair, your mic, he's
oh,
the
okay.
ambassador down there.
Oh, yeah,
down
okay.
They're going to give the pro spectators a discount on tickets or admission, or you don't know?
We'll talk wheelchair on there now. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
I just tell them what's going on. They got a MGMP Junior 484 shootout, which is $150 to enter, and it's 8-car minimum, and they're going to put $4,500 on top of that. Another shootout they got anything on 28. As long as it's a car that haven't spent a time in 365 days, it's $100 entry fee, and the pot is $4,500 with 8 cars.
Uh-huh.
Then they got the EP Street and motorcycles, $60 entry fee on that, and you can buy back after the first round, and they're going to put $1,000 on top of the entry fee. Then the new little class that they came up with, it is a Pee-wee. We call it the Pee-wee shootout. It's for the smaller guys, get them something to do since they can't compete with these big guys. And we got, like, right now we got 12 cars that's in it, and they put up $150 a piece, and the track going to put $1,000 on top of that, and they're going to try to do this shootout once a month for the guys. And then you got, like, quite a few little locked-in races, Tony Vines. You got an all-motor shootout. I mean, an all-motor grudge race with Jason Lane, and then Tarnell and Tony Vines locked in with Pocket Change. Tony Vines locked in with Dog Dam with the Mad Max car. And they got a lot of little stuff going on down there, so you ain't got nothing to do. Jamie got a big race down there with Perk 10 in front of the old motor. And I think Jamie got the head up on that. The gates, gates going to open up at 10, track go hot at 12, driver meeting is at 1:30, first round of the shootout. We're going to try to start that about 2 o'clock. And, dog, they might be adding something else to it, which is a big rim shootout. They got 8 cars.
Well, Will, you need to tell them to stop adding stuff because we ain't got all night to run all them classes, man. That's already a lot of stuff like that. You need to tell them to stop right now. Come on, man.
I agree with you on that.
Once I get around about 6 or 6:30, man, it's gonna be getting touch and go. That's not including if the oil downs and everything. And don't forget track prep and everything. Sometimes you can have too much stuff. Now, sometimes you can have too much stuff.
Yeah, this time
a long time to be trying to have that much. Now, that's the wrong time to be having this much stuff. This is the wrong time. Wrong time. But anyway, talk to them when we do what we got to do, though.
Yeah. All right, that's about all that's going on.
That was enough right there. It was enough with the 2 shootouts and the motorcycles. That was enough right there, plus the grudge races. Boy, that was a load right there. Now they're trying to add all the rest of this stuff in there. I don't know how that's going to work, maybe. I don't know. We'll see, though. You just have to be in it and know it, whatever. We'll see. Yeah. I got a feeling it's going to be more grudge races than you think, Wheelchair. It's going to be more grudges than you think. I've been hearing a couple, 3 more people trying to get some grudge races like that.
Yeah, well, that's the pre no guts, no glory warm-up.
Well, damn, somebody get about $12,000 in money from the track. Damn, you get $12,000 before you go to no gut, no glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to get a head start on.
Yeah.
Hey, we're just talking about $12,000 of the track money. We ain't talking about all that money they're gonna be bent on the side with them grudge races though. Cause I know it's Tony Bynes, if he bet $2,000 on a race, he know he the baby daddy.
Oh man.
Yeah. Oh, Wheelchair, they said they good to hear Wheelchair. Now, Wheelchair been on there every day. He just don't say nothing. He said he had stopped advertising because, you know, people didn't appreciate it. So I know the feeling.
Yeah, that's true.
I know the feeling. But Wheelchair be on every day, y'all. He be on every day. I just said they glad to hear you, Wheelchair.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Hey, kid.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Got a chance to talk to old Tutu Bradley. Got a chance to talk to old Tutu Bradley the other night, though.
Oh, man, not the Tutu, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good.
And everything. Yeah.
Yep.
He was doing good. I told him, don't drop the soap, though. Don't drop the soap.
Yeah, man, you got to be careful, man. Got to get that soap on the rope. yeah, man.
Yeah, I told him, don't be like Tony. You know, Tony be in there throwing his soap on this floor.
Oh, man. Yeah, you got to get that soap on the rope. That way you ain't got to worry about dropping it.
I could have swore I just heard T-Mac, baby. Yeah. Well, all right. That's all that's lockdown Mike. I know that boy's in the way of the world.
Yeah.
What else y'all got back there? Come on out of them bushes back there. Y'all got something you want to sell? Something you want to put out? Go ahead and put it out, guys. Yes, sir. I can't call it. It's like a dog with no legs. If you call it, it can't come nowhere. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want want to say congratulations to Sabrina, man. She was an employee of the month.
Yeah. Well, did she get a tip or a bonus or something?
I don't know what all she got, but she was the employee of the month. Yeah.
Tell her to show it to me on my. Tell her to show it to me on my. Oh, wheelchair. Why my PayPal ain't jingle? Wheelchair. My PayPal ain't jingle yet, man.
Oh man.
And I ain't gonna jingle because I forgot.
Slacking on the funds.
Hey, you mess around there, and somebody want to know how come your wheelchair suddenly start rolling down here by itself? You gonna remember then?
Oh man.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Then cut the brake line.
They're going to talk about Ohio State. We're going to drop out the top four. Yeah, the hell they would. The way they got beat, they should have dropped down for in there. But we know they won't go no more than five, though. They mess around there and let Alabama slip in there if they want to. They're going to be in trouble. But I doubt it, though. Alabama ain't going to make it. Now, Pat Joe just made the dumbest bet in the world. I mean, Pat Joe made what his name is? What that boy name? Truck driver. He made a truck driver bet. Pat Joe did. Hold on. Wheelchair just made my Cash App jingle. I wonder what that was. I thought somebody would catch me. Wheelchair just made my Cash App. My Cash App jingle.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was just messing with you. You know I'm going to see you this week, Wheelchair. We could have been on something else by then. But anyway, though, you know the Cowboys are two games out of they're two games out of first place, which is the conference.
The Eagles
done beat them. So even if they have the same record, the Eagles will win the thing because head-to-head they beat the Cowboys.
Exactly.
And that man betted me that the Cowboys were going to win the division, man.
Oh, man. What pot you been smoking, man?
He might have been them reels he was cooking or something.
Oh, okay.
He really was at Fletcher Cox, you know. You know, at old Fletcher. He really was at Fletcher, but, you know, he was trying to talk with Fletcher Cox, but Fletcher told him he better have Breed loud.
Oh, man.
And he messed around there and throwed out a dumb bet. Of course not.
Hey.
Yeah, the only way the Cowboys win the division, the Eagles just got to stop playing.
Yeah. I don't see that happening.
The way that doggone Jalen Hurts running that ball like a halfback and everything, they're gonna be hell to stop, kid. Because every time they look around, he got more yards than the damn halfback guy.
Yes, same thing here. Same shit happening here. They done goddamn sideline our quarterback up here in Chicago, running him goddamn around over the field like he's a running back and popped his ass and dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah. That's right, kid. I don't understand that. You right about that, dude.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I knew that was going to happen sooner or later.
All right, guys. I know we've been at a disappointing show. We've been at some disappointing shows here for us, just the regular bar talk shows. I ain't talking about my other show. There's 82 people on here today, and ain't nobody want a steady kid. I got to start getting kid a salary. So. No, I don't get no salary, so kid, you ain't going to get no salary.
Yeah, well, birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah. So, kid, is Chuck the meanest joke up there? Chuck got them boys kind of shaking to him, ain't he? Chuck got them kind of shaking to him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he got a reason to be. He said he'll race and a lot of others ain't jumping in the paint with him, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got you.
They got their eyes set on one guy. The guy over there.
Who is that?
Tim. Yeah, he's northeast of us here in Chicago and shit.
We're gonna try to get that eye some irritation next year.
Mm-hmm.
That they got on Tim out. We're gonna see can we close it.
Yeah, See if Chuck don't whoop him, Cal City Cal gonna be after him. You know, I don't know.
Well, we're gonna do Cal City Cal too. We'll do Cal City Cal too.
Okay.
Watch, kid. Didn't I tell you that man ain't giving you his car?
It ain't next year yet, boy. Won't you just wait? It ain't next year yet. You just wait.
They're allowed to leave that motherfucker in the yard before he gives it to somebody. That's his baby.
When is baby gonna stop sucking on nipples? When is he gonna stop drinking, sucking on titties?
Shit, they want him to keep drinking till they full grown. An old man, he won't keep on drinking.
All right, so he ain't got no excuse now. He done married his daughter off. His daughter gone now, so he can't use that excuse.
Yeah, well,
can't use that excuse.
Well, I just want to see it happen.
Big house. You hear so, you that thing ready?
See it happen.
Big house, get it ready. Big house.
Maybe they got a lot of road construction on 94 and 75.
Hey.
You know. Can't get out of town.
You said they got their eye on Big House. Big House, your Michael. Tell them we're gonna punch him in that eye. That eye they looking at Big House with. We're gonna punch him in that eye.
Yeah, they got that eye on Big House.
Mm-hmm.
And that eye gonna stay on
Big
House.
Hey,
he get ready
between
to thank
Brother you B, between Brother B, me, and a couple more people, we're gonna get Big House to run. And if y'all talk too bad, the middleweight boy. We're gonna put low out on the middleweight boy. Y'all keep on talking. Watch and see.
Lord,
2023. 2023, we gonna stop all that pump faking.
Yeah, they said that in 2022.
They didn't have nobody pushing them. They ain't have nobody pushing them skin.
And guess what? Ain't nobody gonna push them this year. Well, next year, ain't nobody gonna push them.
Y'all ain't got no confidence in the man. Y'all ain't got no confidence in him.
No. I don't have no confidence in what you're saying. You keep saying you're going to take Tim House time and do this. Shit. And Tim, I didn't get no more from that car.
Taking his speaking, I didn't say I was going to take his car now. I said I was going to get him where he can slap Chuck in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really take him.
You ain't hearing what I'm saying. He's not going to let you get him to slap Chuck in the mouth. He thinks he can slap Chuck in the mouth himself. He thinks he's scared to death of Chuck by himself. You know what you can do? You can sit there and hold his hand and say, come on, get him. You know, you can chill ease for him. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But all that shit you're going to tell him to do to the cop, shit. Or catch his car somewhere to let somebody
He ain't got to do that to the cop. All he got to do is get the car back running. The car already ready. I mean, all he got to do is put, you know, he got the motor thing. He get that whatever he messed up going to the sand pit. The car
running. Yeah, he either going to race or not. Right. That ain't what I thought you were saying. I keep thinking you saying you going to get him right. Like you going to tell him where to go or which direction to go. That ain't going to happen.
I think the car already right. All they got to do is get it running. I already think the car good enough to whoop Chuck.
If that's what you're talking about, that's gonna happen.
Besides oil pressure, I'm gonna see if I'm right or wrong.
Go ahead.
But now, Skid, what I'm saying is, I know what you're saying, but you're right. He ain't gonna do nothing. He ain't gonna do nothing that's not letting somebody push him because he's scared to death to go there by himself.
This is what you were saying last year around this time, you were saying, I'm gonna come get Tim House car.
Right.
I'm gonna take it, get this, spend my own money, and we're gonna do this. That's never gonna happen right there. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think he has some tires.
That's what I said.
He ain't gonna use the tires, none of that shit. You might as well sell that motherfucker. He ain't put nothing on
his car. But what I was talking about was, you know, getting Mike Hill to tune it and get it right for him and everything. That's what I meant when I was saying that, though. But I, you like this kid. I did say exactly what you said. Hey, damn it, exactly.
Yeah, and he'll do that. But guess what? Mike Hill got to come up here. He's not going to catch his car down there and do nothing.
Lord.
I'm going to bet anything.
Come on, Skin. Come on, Skin.
Man, Mike Hill got to come up here. Or he going to have that motherfucking headset on talking to Mike Hill. Mike Hill, what do I do with this and this and that?
Oh,
Mike Hill going to tell him how to do it. And he going He gonna either fuck it up or he gonna go down the track.
Now to be honest with you now, he ain't need but a little tweaking on that car to whoop Chuck now. That car's a bad son of a gun for real now. Y'all just don't realize. Y'all just don't realize that's a bad thing. Like I tried to tell y'all about Tony Bryan car. That car is all right. It just need a little tweaking. It just need a little tweaking.
Yeah, but I ain't never said no was wrong with the car. I never said nothing. I seen him when he ran Cold Blue. I seen him when he ran Chuck. I seen him when he ran a few people now. I didn't say nothing wrong with the car. Something wrong with the nigga. What the fuck is you talking about? You keep telling him. It's just like I can look at his car and say, hey, Tim Al, you need some new slicks. He doing what the fuck he want to do. He don't give a fuck if you give him $4,000 on the slick. He don't get no fuck. He going to put on his car what he want to put on it, put whoever the fuck he wants to put in it, and tell him what to do in the car. Y'all do that.
Oh man.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Seeing you discouraging me, man. Seeing you discouraging
me. Like he knows something.
Seeing you discouraging me,
man. I ain't discouraging shit. I'm going to make him break. I'm going to make him great. I'm going to make him sell that motherfucker or get up there and do the right thing.
Hey, Skin.
That's what I'm going to do.
Skin, I'm saying, you discouraging me. You discouraging me. You discouraging me.
Hey,
I ain't saying him. I said me.
Lord well, I'm just saying, though. Saying. I mean, you got a lot of time on this earth. All you do is take the time out your day. Don't go to work, wherever you go to work at, and go on to Michigan and see if you can pull it off. Man, please.
Oh, man.
He ain't gave me nothing positive to work with yet.
Yeah, I got to tell you. Now, if you want me to tell you a lie, I need something positive to work with. You want me to tell you a lie?
No, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me.
That's why I'm just telling you the truth.
Hey,
I'm telling you, if you got anything else to do, you better go on and do it. If you got a woman,
somebody just text me. Somebody just text me and confirmed everything you said. Okay, so all that stuff I was talking, I retract it.
Yes.
I'm just gonna go on off and
see. You know what you're doing? You was really giving him hope. You was giving him false hope. Man, we're gonna take Tim car. You really might get him fucked up because you're gonna make him think he can go fuck them people up. And they gonna knock his ass out. That's what the fuck.
Oh man,
you really
not Mike Tyson.
You really hurting him. Keep telling him, wait till Tim Allen car get back together. We're gonna smack the hell out of Chuck and then goddamn what's that boy name?
Kyle.
Man, them people gonna beat the fuck out of Tim Allen.
Oh,
if Tim Allen don't make a change, they're going to beat the dog shit out of him. You heard it from me. On the blog.
Well, I'm
going
to go back.
And his report.
Tell
somebody
to bet
me some money on it.
Y'all lied to him.
If that man don't make a change on that motherfucker, they're going to beat the dog shit out of him. Motherfucker.
Lord, have mercy.
Watch what I tell you. I'm putting
y'all
up. Y'all
like Chuck because Chuck don't buy out of nobody. So I like Chuck, but I just wanted to see Kim slap Chuck, though, because Chuck just so nasty, dude. But I see him.
I'm going to say this, though, Willie Dawg, because you've been around a long time. How many times have you seen the nice fella knock out that nasty motherfucker? And the nice fella might go fight better than the nasty motherfucker.
He just got so much heart, man.
He just
had
a lion out his
head. Yeah. Yes, sir. You're right, boy. You got a point there, boy.
You've been around way longer than me. I know you done seek that shit.
That just
tickled me when you said, Chuck, that's so goddamn nasty, really. I want him to knock
Chuck
the hell out
so
of him.
Nasty, man.
Let me tell you, you had that little,
Chuck,
how many times you had that little nasty kid on the block? You were going down, terrorizing everybody on the goddamn block. You got that little nice kid. You want the nice kid to knock him out. Now, every now and then, the nice kid get away. But that's every now and then. Who the fuck want a record like that?
I want to win the majority
of the time. I don't want no motherfucking losing-ass record and then I finally slap the tape out of his mouth.
What I'm trying
after he done wound the fuck out me.
But Skin, this is what I'm talking about, Skin. Skin, this is what I'm talking about, Skin. Me and you about the same size. Would we just, if I didn't have a bad leg, how would I look every time I see you, Skin? You slap me upside my head. I don't do nothing. Every time you see me, you slap me upside my head.
But now I'm gonna say this, and I might get crucified for it, but fuck it. They are not the same size.
I'm trying to say the car's the same size.
Okay, but let me use this example. I'm going to use me and you again. Tim House is you. You trying to outrun me on feet and you living, man, and I'm in the best shape of my life. You don't get your ass pulled the fuck out. That's what I'm talking about. Tim House is you.
Chuck just don't... Skid, Chuck don't even have to sell him. He just look at him nasty. He just got a nasty look to look at him.
But Chuck been a nasty motherfucker. Can you hear it in his voice? You can't hear it. When we come on this motherfucker, man,
I know it.
How many times you heard this thing out there, Chuck? That motherfucker better not breathe.
Yeah.
Lock me the fuck in. Man, that's goddamn
ain't nowhere in the world. I could be in the same area with a joker like that.
I'd be scared to death when I hear that motherfucker. Boy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to let you this.
Yeah.
I got a bet for you. Mr. Willie Dog. I got a bet for you. Let's go somewhere and get some grandkids. And they about 4 or 5 years old. And let Chuck come in there and say, eat that goddamn food. Man, them little kids going to be eating the fuck out that food. They don't even like that shit. They going to eat the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Drink all your goddamn juice. Man, they gonna drink the fuck out that juice, man.
I know. Hey, look here. They text me before now. Some people didn't know Chuck, right? They didn't know Chuck. They said, man, Chuck must be a great big old Chuck. I said, man, Chuck the same size on me, man. It's a no kind of way, man. The way Chuck be on that.
Chuck a little bigger than you, little bigger than me.
Yeah. They thought Chuck was a great big old joker like Ty Joe.
Yeah, that goddamn Chuck just, man, Chuck just nasty, boy. Ooh,
nasty, man.
On this motherfucker. Let me tell
Some
you what it is.
Nasty.
Let me tell you what it is. These motherfuckers ain't racing, dog. These motherfuckers ain't racing.
He called it. Soon as you
mention Tim House's name, Chuck gonna say, hey, dog, don't mention that motherfucker to me. Man, let me know. Man, a car be sold by the time Tim House get his shit together.
And you
mention Mudbone to Chuck. Ooh, he'll blow a motherfucker too. You mention that goddamn Mudbone.
Hey, Tim, I told your mic was... See, Tim, I think he got ADT or something. I told your mic was over. I told your mic when we were talking about you.
No, he thought Chuck was on him.
Brother D, how you get two lines on, Brother D? Man, you on two lines, man.
Two lines?
You going to try to tell me I'm lying. You want me to see your screenshot of the board? I'm looking at your number twice on there.
I'm on two.
Oh, no, you just hung it up now.
I just hung it up. But my phone was showing like I had fell off.
You can't tell me. I'm looking at it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you when he just hung up. I'm saying,
the phone was showing me off.
You was on, and both of y'all lines was on. Tim House scared to talk. He's gonna text me, but he's scared to talk.
No, it's not that. Bro, Tim don't care nothing about all that noise. His car not together. He want to talk to Chuck with his car together.
Hey, buddy, let me ask you a question, man. When you going to stop taking up for Tim all the time on certain things? We ain't talking about it bad enough for you to take up for him.
It's not taking up for him. It's just he can't. Well, I'm saying, though, it's not I'm taking up for him. It's just that evidently he's doing something right now, and he can't talk. No, so I was speaking.
He texted me. If he can text me, he can go.
If then he can't talk. No, not necessarily. Now, I can't talk.
Oh, you're the meeting or something? You're the meeting now. You can't be. You're the meeting.
Yeah, sometimes I be busy, I can't talk.
Tim, I was texting me faster than I'm talking.
Yeah, bro, Tim ain't worried about that. The only thing, bro, Tim want to do is get his car together. He got his own people he want to take his. That's what I was saying last night. He got his own people he
want
to take his car to. When they can get
all
it,
I
they can get him in.
Slap
they gonna get it back together. And
now, there you
all
go.
I want him to do
now,
that.
That's all I was saying. They just went into something else, but that's what I was saying.
Bring your mic over.
Y'all
let me know when y'all mic over.
Hey, man, I'm just on this.
He got his own body, man. He got his own chest, man.
What Skin was saying is very much true, though.
Well, I don't know how you do it.
You got your own people that you got confidence in that you deal with, no matter what nobody else say. I can get you
that's
in
all
you
gonna
do. It don't matter. That's what I was saying last night. Yeah. When they get it. He'll be ready to swing shortly.
All I want to do is at least swing.
Right now, my brother just getting checks coming in the mail every day. He's just stacking his money, and he'll be ready for action shortly.
Well, I seen a joker. Boy, he died.
He
had a whole bunch of checks.
Yeah.
They didn't do no good.
He's going to war now. He definitely going
to
war.
I don't care if you don't whoop one joker, as long as he whoops Chuck. He whooped Chuck, I'm saying.
Damn, dog, you got it.
Huh?
Dog.
Man, Chuck's so nasty, man.
Dog.
Huh?
Dog, ever since you out slick Chuck that time, y'all been the best of friends, boy.
Me and Chuck's great, but I still want Tim out to beat him down.
Yeah. Dog, I want Tim out to whoop Junior motherfucking ass. I want him to whoop
Junior doing a lot of talking, that's all. Uh-oh.
Man, I beat his ass three times. How's that talk to you, old raggedy motherfucker?
Damn.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Oh, my.
Now, where's the talk?
He tell me somebody tried to lock Junior in the day and told him, don't stop counting
Junior,
that 20.
Junior ain't mad at his game.
Junior can be rough now. He can be rough, though. Don't let him fool you.
But I mean, not like Chuck.
He can get ruthless.
But he don't automatically come on here and do it, though. Chuck automatically just come on in.
No, that he don't. Yeah, Chuck come in the door ruthless. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
And that's true. Chuck come in, Rufus.
If you don't set too much to Junior, he ain't going to really just come in and jump on you unless you bring him up or something. But Chuck automatically, man. Chuck automatic. He like the rifle, man. He automatic.
Hey, where's dog? Why has the old boy been kind of quiet late today?
Who that?
Jamie Howell.
You talking about Trigger Man?
Yes, Jamie Howell.
Hey, man, who playing that music, man? Turn your music down, man. Mute your phone, whoever that music, man. You have to ask him that. I don't know now. Mario said he's mattable. Let me find his music. I just asked the Joker to turn the music down. He won't do it. Y'all gonna control the music on your line, guys? Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been mounted for the last two races.
Well, he won the shootout out of this weekend.
Yeah, he did that. Now, I'm just saying, though, with that that car,
Keisha.
What is he called?
Keisha.
No, I'm saying Backstabber was running around and whooping everybody for a nice little while. And when the tables turned, he got, like you say, he been malleable now. He been very quiet.
Yeah. Dre, you got a new word? You got a new word for tonight, Dre?
Yeah. Hockeyosis. When you get hockeyosis, you know, it's when it goes a different way.
That baby making up some words, boy. He like, what that man named, the civil rights leader. He's making up some damn words. What his name is? You know the civil rights leader. Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson. He's making up some words, boy.
It's like the helix of life. You know what I'm saying? You have to be there to be able to make it happen. Helix. When you're a helix, you're a helix.
Whatever you say. Yes, somebody told me said he can't run back there, but to Jesse James tell him he can. Alan Rodriguez and them got him they got him quiet, man. That's what they told me now. That was somebody just texted me. So he can't talk to Alan Rodriguez and them turn him loose.
Hey, they can. Matter of fact, you know, Alan Rodriguez them selling the body out of Jesse James. He can buy the body of it if he wanted.
What do you want to buy the body for when he got a Mustang and Ethan Camaro? What do you want to buy the body for?
they might do better with that Camaro body.
You know, Alan Rodriguez get something on the Jamie skin. Alan Rodriguez told us that he might want to do something because he can't whoop no Camaros.
Oh, man.
I don't think Jamie liked that too much now. But in the words of Dre, do something about it then. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They don't look like they can do nothing about it right now.
Not right now, Dre. Well, just laying them down for the year, they said. So they must be why they taking that bot off? They still going to have a Camaro, or they just putting a new one on there? Or something.
Yep.
What are they doing, Dre?
Yeah. I guess they getting a new body. They got a new car, though.
Uh-oh.
They got a Mustang.
It was already
in Florida.
It was already tough. They can they get tougher? Uh-oh.
If they're getting the new body, is it going to be a carbon fiber or going back steel?
No good way anybody going to go back heavier, Drake. Come on, kid. Who going to go back heavier? What they do that at? Somebody talking to me. What they do that at? You take a light. You take a light body and make it a heavy body? I ought to call Phil Shula on that and find out where that come from. Yes, sir. hey, y'all, why all of a sudden now so many Camaros instead of Mustangs? There's more Camaros now than there's Mustangs. What's going on?
They're a little bit more aerodynamic and I think the wheelbase a little longer.
Well, we know the wheelbase longer.
No, they're a little bit faster. They're a little bit faster than the Mustangs. That's been proven.
The body ain't got nothing to do with being faster.
Jamie told me this weekend. Jamie said if he get out, y'all. If he take off, y'all can shut off or something. He had it rhyming though. He said if he take off, you can shut off.
He just run to a stroke of bad luck. You know, the man having problems. I mean, I don't understand how people expect you to race when you're having problems. I don't. You get all these call outs and that you should lock this in, lock it in when you're having problems with your car. You got to be the biggest fool on earth to go lock race in when you got a problem with your car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. I just don't understand it.
Is he really having bad luck? I mean, what he did? He just lost one race. Bad luck?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I said having bad luck. You know, he had a little mishap down there twice with his engines. You know,
right.
Race before last.
Right.
You know, I'm sure they're gonna get it back in order. You don't come this far, and then not be able to get back in order. But the thing that baffles me more than anything with these shows is that people do a whole lot of calling out and running up in your face, talking about racing somebody when they see your car messing up. breaking and popping, and you're not getting that track. I'll run him. Soon as he get down the track, they call the church mouse on Sunday morning sitting on cotton.
Oh, man.
I just don't understand it. Why would you even expect me to run my cotton already?
Mm-hmm.
You make yourself like fool, not me.
Good point.
It's okay when they do it. Yeah, exactly.
It's
cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to. Y'all know what I was trying to say.
It's cool when they do it.
I've seen that a long time.
Hey, dog, it's cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it, though, but fuck them.
That's what I heard that song. Exactly.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy said that Batman was the fastest car out there. He said Batman. And
they mopped
the
fire.
Well, look at it like this.
I ain't making no excuses. Like these guys ain't making no excuses, them. But when he didn't, you know, it's moments. But they said now. That he was having problems. They also said when he beat Jesse James, that Jesse James was having problems. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do that.
Yes. But he is a different, though, dog. He wasn't having a problem when he went to Atlanta. It's a different having a problem once the race gets started. Anything can happen then.
Right.
But I'm speaking of guys having problems before you even go to Atlanta. Them the ones you've been hiding in favor what you do to them.
Right.
You know, Chase was probably the only one I've seen in probably 15 years or better, that actually gave a man enough respect to say, I'm not going to bother him now because he having problems. I want to whoop him, but the man having trouble right now. They don't do it. They all up in your face, putting on Facebook what they'll do to you, texting you, calling, having people call you out, all that because they know you not ready.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you get down the track anywhere near them, they cry in the church mouse on Sunday morning.
Hey, dog.
And I know I'm speaking facts.
Hey, dog, is it that person's fault because that person shit ain't together, or is it they own fault because they out there trying to run and they trying to race? So that's what I'm asking.
You and me got a good conversation going.
Hey, dog, it's not their fault that they having problems, but it's definitely your fault back in the food trying to run when you see you having problems.
Why?
You ain't finna get no action. You're trying to make yourself look good to nobody but you, because everybody else know you acting a fool.
Oh man,
you don't look as good to yourself when you do it.
No. Let me ask you this here. Now, if I try to run the goddamn, he feel like he can fuck with me, even though his shit ain't all the way together. What did I do wrong?
Good point. That's a good point. That's a good point. Y'all got a good one going on. Go ahead.
We don't converse like that. But I'm gonna say this here. I'm gonna get on up out of here. Sometime in life, it's best to just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking that approach right now.
Well, now hold on, D. You were doing good at asking the questions. He got a point. Now, if I jug at you, D,
well, really,
you race me. Who the fool? But if I jug at you, you race me, though. Now, if you do still race me, that means you
must. Yeah, exactly.
But that ain't what
Brother
D said. He's saying you jugging now and he's not racing. They got problems.
You know he's not racing. You know he got problems.
Hold up, guys. We was having a good discussion, one at a time. Okay, we heard that part, but Dre asked another question. He said, what if they do race when you jug at them? That's what he asked. What if they do go out there and race?
But that goes back to what Ballhead just said. Yeah, but that goes back to what Ballhead said and what I keep saying. You know they're not going to run you. That's why you're jugging at them. You know, you already know. If
and
I'm
they
going
didn't
out
run.
It'd
been different if they did run.
And I didn't run, man.
Okay, we got that part of y'all. Okay, we buy that part. That part did. He came back and said, you jumped at them and they do run you, but even if they ain't ready. And they do run you. That's what he asked. Y'all didn't get the time for
them. They're damn fools.
Ain't no problem.
No.
Either they win or they
lose. We keep saying. Yeah. And sometimes people do act stupid and do things that they really shouldn't do. But how many times mm-hmm. you going to really see a man going down the track making popcorn and trying to run and run you and what they like to call, quote-unquote, I said drag racing because that's what it is, but quote-unquote grudge racing. I'm making popcorn. My car just went 15, 30 down to 8, and I'm going to turn around and run you. What sense do that make?
You got the one that's got like it's like a stadium. And
okay, that's it. 810-8177. Who is this? 810-8177. Who is this? 810-8177. Who are you? Who are you? Who is this? That's another. Who is this?
Oh yeah, one more time.
Hold on, that man, they're talking to somebody else. That's why I was trying to find out who that was, just regularly doing all that talking. He talking to somebody else. That's why I told y'all, y'all wouldn't be the fucking, y'all got to be quiet without, just actually, when y'all do one at a time, guys. Y'all be quiet so we can hear this sometime. All right, y'all back home again. I'm trying to find out who that 810 was doing all that loud talking. He talking to somebody else.
Yeah, Lynn.
All right, we back. Yeah, we back now. Hey, man, who doing all that eating over there?
I like what Dre said, but like I said,
right, let's go back, let's go back to this here.
If they run, they run.
Right. But let's go back to this here. What's the old saying is, hey, if D go out there and he's running his best, why do I want to jump on him? I want to try to get him before he get it right. What's wrong with that now? I want to get him before he get it right. What's wrong with that?
Ain't nothing wrong with it. But what I think what Brother D was saying was, you wasting your time. That's just like, you know my character, boss. I mean, dog. You know I'm not going to race and the cop blow it up. So what the fuck am I fucking with you for? What are you fucking with me for?
Now, if the cop blow it up, that's different. What I'm saying is, though, B, where you at, B? Where you went?
Mm-hmm.
Red, where you went?
It's
a whole bunch of different forms of blow it up.
I'm talking.
You know talking on mute? Oh, on mute?
I'm talking on mute. Okay, now watch this, dog. That's like Kimo came on yesterday, and he said, you got until midnight to lock in everything in racing. Why would I want to lock Kimo in for everything in racing?
And your car ain't even ready. Right, now that's dumb.
Don't have a motor, no trans, no electrical work or nothing.
Well, that's dumb.
I said, you thinking. That's what I mean. You coming off like you shining. But the real brother that got a little brain in the head, they laughing in your face, and you two don't realize they're not laughing with you, because you mm-hmm. sound stupid when you do things like that. It's not funny. See, this is one of the problems we have in racing today. We done took too much illiteracy and made people think it's funny, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You make mm-hmm. yourself feel like a fool, and you think the world laughing with you when they're laughing at you.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
that's
so
one of the problems we got in the game today.
How many times have you seen a motherfucker go out there, make his car do crazy ass shit just so a motherfucker can race? You know what I'm saying? They don't do that so much now.
The days of crossing us fire club wires and leaving wires off. Dog, you know, when last time you seen nobody do that? I ain't seen those tricks been pulled over 30 years. We did that back when we was on the streets racing 14, 15, 13 cars. Nobody doing that mess.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. First of all, these pieces cost too much to take a chance on hurting them to try some mess like that. Nobody wants to even try that now. Back then, back then when we did that type of stuff, you were dealing with junkyard stuff. You know, stuff you actually go to junkyard and get. You can go to your partner's
mm-hmm.
garage and pick up whatever you didn't have. Now, these pieces cost entirely too much to even remotely dream of taking that kind of chance.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody doing that. Tony Bass won't even do that, and he a trick of tricks.
He wouldn't even try that. Not in today's world.
Yeah, that's
I don't know what
the
my brother.
That's why. Why it's called racing. So if a man, goddamn, out there fucking with his car and bam, he don't get it down the track, but he still want to race. I mean, you nigga hollering about that's a fool, but you got people that do that because what's the chance? Okay, his car might not be the car might not be. Say, man, can I talk and you shut up, please? All right,
dog.
Thank you.
I'm on mute,
dog. Yeah, please, go on mute. Stay on mute. Shit, man. Hey, now, anyway, dog, back to what I was saying. Yeah, we done pulled them tricks 100,000 times out here, man. So I know they still do it. Might not, like you say, do it as much. But if a man want to run you that bad and his shit not all the way right, he's still going to try it.
Not in these days and times, Dre. I don't think so.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
They still do it. It might not be like
you said.
You got
some that will and some that won't. I mean, everybody wants to get them L's now. I'm about the last one of the dummies out there going out there taking chances, trying to test and raise at the same time. I'm a dummy like that, but I'm a dummy.
Oh,
I'm a
man.
Dummy for doing it, but I see it.
That's why we the off-trailer kings around.
Hey, man, who got all that noise, man? Who got all that noise, man? Come on, guys. Give me the noise.
Come on.
Please.
Come on off that trailer.
Yeah. Everybody got to, I mean, you know.
Dre, why don't you stop lying? You ain't racing nobody, Dre. You don't stop lying.
You got to point that out. Any motherfucker want to run the grill, come out that trailer. Anybody. I don't give a fuck who it is.
Now, Drake, man, just told y'all about pumping. The grill ain't even got no oil pressure.
Oh,
got
man.
Why you talking about it?
It ain't crunk up. You got plenty of oil pressure.
Okay, if it ain't ready, that's what we just talked about a minute ago. Why would you even bring the grill up when you ain't ready to race? When you ain't ready to race?
I'm just saying we run off the trailer, dog. I ain't saying nothing about the grill racing right now. I'm just saying. You know, we run off the trailer when we do be out.
Well, ain't nobody scared of y'all running off the trailer. I'll run you off the trailer as long as I got oil pressure, too, if it's in my
You vehicle. Have before. You have.
Yeah.
And it turned out good for
yeah.
you on one of them, and then the next one, it didn't turn out so good for you. So, yeah,
that's,
you have, that's, did it.
That's exactly right, Dre. You're exactly right, but that's what I do.
I'm not taking nothing from you. You have done it.
Oh, yeah. Y'all put it on me, like I said. Y'all did. Yeah. I'm an exception. I'll try, Joker. What King B doing, Drake? King B got his car ready? Hello? Did we fall off the show? Can y'all hear me? Kid, what happened to Drake?
Hey, Willie, how you doing, Willie?
Oh, Drake. Don't call me no damn Willie. Whoever that is calling me Willie. Who is that calling me Willie?
Big Fag. What's up, Big Fag?
Who it is, though? I need to know who I'm talking
Blue
to.
Shirt.
This Big
Blue
Fag,
shirt.
Huh?
Blue shirt.
Oh,
Blue
oh,
shirt.
That's,
Blue
hey,
shirt.
Runner. What's up, Runner? How you doing, man? What up, baby boy?
What's up, dog? How you doing, man?
Man, I ain't heard your voice so long. I ain't recognize your voice yet, bro.
Oh, man. Man, I've been working hard, man. Just trying to make my way, man. No good, no glory.
You got no
man.
Oil pressure? You got no oil pressure?
Only thing I got right now, dog. You want to know what I got? Rocket Top. Rocket Top, Tennessee. That's all
huh?
I got to say.
What are you talking about? You singing a song or something?
Yeah. Good old
hey,
Rocket
what happened to Dre? Dre fell off.
Rocket Top.
What is Rocket Top, man? What is he trying to say? He talking about alcoholism? That alcoholism?
Dude, tell him what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about? Rocket Top, Tennessee. What does that mean?
I wouldn't have the slightest
man,
idea.
What's going on with the show? Going on with the show, dog.
Hey, man, I'm just over here threading water, man.
Oh, I got a one question. And be honest. Tell the truth.
Yeah.
So you said my shirt, do my shirt be tighter than kid pants?
Yeah. Hey, kid wear kid clothes. Kid go to the kid section and shop. You don't shop in the men's
stuff. Get a discount.
That's somebody white right there now. That's white folks music there.
Oh, man.
Hey, kid, they thought I couldn't find them, kid. They thought I couldn't find them.
They found them, huh?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. They thought I couldn't find them. Keep on acting a fool. They thought I couldn't find them. Yeah. They're just disrespectful. They're just being disrespectful. But I got them. Tell them to play that music again. Tell them to say something now. They can't hear. Yeah. Tell them to play that funky music now.
Play that country music, white boy.
I'm gonna open back up and see if they got any manners now since they know where since I know where they're at. I'm gonna open back up. I ain't gonna call no names. Hey, Ronnie Taylor, what you wanna do, Mike? Kid, they feel like an ass now because I found them. I know who they is. They feel like an ass now. They try to sabotage shit, but then when I find out who they is, they feel like an ass now. I can find them anytime I want them. Anytime I want to find you, I can find you. Search stuff, I just let go just to see how long you're going to go with it to make sure you meant what you're doing. It don't bother me that much, though, but I can find you. Can't hide from the big bad wolf.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I still love them, though. I still love them. I'm just like the Lord. Forget them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Yes, sir. What is going to be?
Well, no.
Yeah,
no.
Talk to me, kid. Yeah.
They traveled to the moon back in 1969. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
How come they haven't been back to the moon to check on that flag that they left up there?
You ain't lying, kid. You got a point there. 731-2326. Come on in there.
Just speaking with it,
dog.
Just speaking.
Oh, okay. All right, Nikki. Oh, that was that song they was talking about. The dude was talking about singing "Rocket Top Tennessee." That's what he. Oh, there. Oh, that's, come on, Pike. Don't nobody want to hear that dumb shit. Come on, Pike. Yeah. Let me see what my man talking about. Let me see what my man Q Dog. Oh, I saw that gay stuff, Q Dog. I saw that. Alan Cook and T-Mac. I think they said somebody got a wedding coming up here soon. Some shit. Why they crying? Cause they tearing the racetrack down. They crying now. The same people I saw.
Oh, Atlanta.
They don't ever go to. Yeah.
Atlanta Dragway, yeah.
Commerce.
It's gonna come down. Yeah, Commerce. It's coming down. Houston coming down.
Man, that's
Englishtown, New Jersey coming down.
Yeah. Well,
quite a few of them.
Memphis coming down.
Memphis coming down.
Well, that's what I'm getting rough, boy.
Well, somebody said they was
So all the ones that don't come down, they kind of halfway the back, kind of ought to be kind of glad, eh? Because that's going to make their business. More people got to come to their business, eh? Or do they?
I don't know.
I mean, you can look at it two ways. If I own a racetrack, I might be saying, yeah, I'm glad they're coming down. The more of them come down, and if I can stay up, I'm going to get more business.
Yeah.
Can't you look at it that way?
Yeah, they could.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a sorry way to look at
y'all, like McDonald's. Well, y'all down in Georgia, y'all never went to Commerce No Way, did you?
No, sir. We couldn't pass tech, kid.
Yeah.
Only way we go to Commerce is the watcher race. We couldn't go there to race.
Right.
We couldn't pass tech.
Only somebody I ever know went there was really a nephew and Mike Hill and a few more people. That was about it.
Now, see, that's another thing that I would show people, that them people, them strict outlaw rules and making sure everybody do everything, they don't make no money. They got to go. So that.
Well, it's a safety thing, though, dog.
Okay. Do it like we care about safety until something happens to us? Do it like we care?
No, they don't.
Well, I know that. But what I'm just saying, though, it just shows you the one that enforces the rules and everything, they don't make no money because the money's in this grudging and no rules stuff. And, you know what I mean? I mean, I ain't saying it's right.
Yeah.
I ain't saying it's right.
Right.
I'm just telling you what's profitable, though. I ain't saying
it. Yeah. Because there was a track I saw the other day.
Hey,
I don't want to call no name.
Yeah,
I don't want. Go ahead, Shorty.
Right, I wanted to ask you a question, kid. You said that it's rules and safety, right?
Yeah.
So since you said that, I got a little scenario for you. It's safer not to sell people these goddamn guns, but instead of selling guns, they try to get money.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Damn, you just sit back killing everything we talk about. Skin killing.
Hey, Shorty.
Yeah.
All them guns they stole over there in Inglewood, they wasn't selling them. They stole them.
And I'm just saying, we keep the same. Oh, man, you're stupid. You didn't see that and the track. They won't state this and this and that.
They said the less track they got, the less time people be putting race on top of each other, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
well, like I was saying, dog,
it was a track I
saw the other day. I don't want to call no names because I mentioned it before. But I couldn't understand 2022. It looks, it looks like that down in Alabama.
Mm.
Looks like what did?
With them guardrails.
The guardrails.
Oh, I ain't know you were talking about no guardrails, kid.
Man.
But it's I look at it like this, dog, it's damn if you do and damn if you don't. Because motherfuckers couldn't pass tech at Route 66.
It sure can't.
They didn't want us there no goddamn way.
Well, they finally realized they got to do it according to where the insurance is on it. They got to realize it's geared more toward class races than if the NHRA is throwing a race. If they're throwing a race there once or twice a year, that's enough probably to just get them by, though. They might not make no lot of money, but they can still survive, though.
If the NHRA throw a race there,
you know, they geared toward basically mostly bracket-type racing and stuff, you know.
Because I was just poking the hole at what Kia said.
Because that's just like, I mean, you can go on and on about that safety shit. Hey, they trying to save money. They won't even search you coming in certain clubs. And they motherfucker, they got a goddamn pistol. So, I mean,
if it's a safety thing,
why they ain't got nobody in the door searching the motherfucker?
If the majority of the jokers say, if I can't take my pistol, I ain't going to. Is that Cal City Cal?
Hey,
what's up,
City?
Whatever.
Cal City.
Yep.
What's happening?
Not much. How you doing, kid?
Yeah, because I don't think they'll ever the restrictions out there at 66. It's hard for a grudge car to get them, I think, to pass tech out there.
Hold up, kid. Kansas City Cal hit the one button for a reason. What's up, Cal? You got some on your mind.
No. I was just going to chime in on the conversation. That's all. That's...
Okay.
You said something about, I know 66, they was raking in for that when NHRA come into town.
Mm-hmm.
It was getting like $27 to $30 million for that 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm saying. If they get an NHRA, that'll hold them over. They might not make no lot of money, but that'll probably operate them for that year. Just that NHRA.
That's all they really wanted. That's what's going to happen next year. They got that and a couple of division races, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
That place there is too big to handle some grudge racing.
They say operating the lights is a big expense alone for one night, the test and tune.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Although they could eliminate one side.
I've been there one time. That's a huge place, man.
Yeah.
But no prep and grudge where the money at, though. I mean, you know, where they making money at. But you notice the no prep guys and. You look at them stands now. They ain't full as they used to be when they first started coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be even getting that good. Shit, they got too many of them now. Everybody trying to have one. Yep. Hey, Cal City.
Yes, sir.
Cal City, you know you're number two on Tim House list. You know that, don't you?
Oh man.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Tim House,
didn't know that.
Yeah, Tim House,
you done moved up the ladder.
Yeah, you number two on his list.
Who number one?
Chuck.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Chuck it up. Oh, Chuck it up. Yes, sir. And he said, depending on how he slapped Chuck, you might not want to.
He said he gonna. He gonna knock y'all out because y'all in the Chicago city limits.
He's about right. If you run over Chuck, I ain't gonna want none.
And
he's trying to tick.
He said,
I'm getting a tick. I'm getting another tick.
And he said you and Chuck don't stay too far from each other.
Hey,
he don't like y'all
hey,
no
Big
way.
Eddie, I done told you, Big Eddie. I'm going to block Big Eddie. Let me block Big Eddie, man. Big Eddie, get myself. Between him and Brother D, boy. Him and that Mudbone and that Lowrider, man. Come on, man. Somebody need to call
you
the
hear
police
what I,
on him.
You hear what I said, Cal?
What's that?
Tim House said you and Chuck don't stay too far from each other. He don't like y'all no way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we right around the corner from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you the one went around the house and told him he was around there, somebody around there with the one of their DP money one time, whatever they, I forgot what they was talking about.
I don't know about that, dog.
Big Eddie, quit texting me, Big Eddie. Come on, Chuck. Big Eddie, you ain't doing that either. Y'all came out one time last year and got lucky, went out to California. And the man caught stumbling. I was like, you know, y'all won one race, and y'all think y'all have rotated the earth with one race. In 47 years, y'all have had one race.
They went down to California, dog.
I said they went down to California, and Bodie just let them win just so they can bring their dumb behind back next year, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I ain't never seen a man set a car down for 6 months. Tell me he got to put a trans brake on there. An automatic shifter. I'm saying, come on, man. You been going that long for an automatic shifter? Come on, man. You ain't going fast enough to need an automatic shifter.
Damn.
You got plenty of time. You got plenty of time to shift that damn thing you got. Yesterday they had me out at the racetrack with a doggone car. I had to ship it myself, kid. I forgot to ship it. It was so slow it didn't make no difference though. By the time I forgot, mm-hmm. I forgot to ship it. I was reached down there and shipped it, and it still hadn't reached. It still hadn't reached the point to ship it nowhere. Well, I ain't kissing it. Them guys, they love their stuff just like we love our so-called fast stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They relegated me down to a do boy. I'm just a do boy. I'm like 10 miles. I'm a do boy. Uh-oh. Get another text. It better not be from Mudbone. It better not be from me. Uh-oh. Automatic shift is just like a lockup in a Buick.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Automatic shift is just like a lockup. He trying to, Chuck throwing hints at both of them. Yeah, brother, he coming, he got a lockup. Yeah, brother, he got a lockup in his car. The lockup called more than the car. Well, yeah, B. Coming, he got a lockup in there and some 595 gears or 627 gears or something. I don't know, man.
Damn.
Yeah. He might lead it home, but he won't get no 460-footer.
In other words, what you're saying, 670 feet, going to fall on his face? Is that what you're trying to say?
Man, if he gets that far.
I think he's lying, dog.
What's that? Come on, Brother D.
Brother D lying.
I don't know, Brother D.
He ain't going.
He's going to whip somebody. I don't know who he's going to beat with them with that combination. That combination ain't gonna do nothing, but he said it will. So we're waiting to see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to call him a lie. I don't want to call him a lie till I call him a lie though.
At least not yet, huh?
So, well, you know, like I said, until I call him a lie, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting the benefit of the doubt. I'm getting the benefit of the doubt though, but I lock up and I forgot what Gee said. Whatever Gee said, boy, take a grown man to carry that anyway. I know that Buick ain't no grown man.
Oh, man, not the Don Stanley. Not the Don Stanley lockup.
Okay. You come out better than getting a lock out instead of lock up. Oh, yeah. All right, anybody got that in mind, man? We just thread water. Anybody got that on their mind?
Just freelancer.
What we doing, freelancer?
Yeah, just freelancer. But you still ain't answer my question, goddamn, how come they ain't been back to the moon yet?
Well, you know, that's a good question. That's a good question, kid. I mean, let me ask you another question though, kid. What the hell they go to the moon for the first place?
I believe it was out in Arizona somewhere myself.
Yeah. Got a point there, man. And kid, that's what every 3 to 6 months we used to hear about Cape Canaveral launching this missile. This we ain't heard about it launching a missile lately, ever.
Uh-uh.
I mean, you know. Talking about they going to the moon for, I'll tell you what they ought to do. Why they didn't go to the moon to find out if they were there and make sure you take your COVID test? Everybody that ain't got COVID, ship them to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Or the ones that got COVID, ship them to the moon. Vice versa. Yeah. But anyhow. We ain't doing nothing. Let's get out of here, guys. Get us out of here, kid, man. We ain't doing nothing. Get out of here, man. I ain't got time.
Oh, happy day.
Shut up, man.
Let's
go, kid. Get us out of here, man. Ain't nobody talking about nothing. Who did say that, Chef?
Oh, happy day. Yes, sir.
What up, Chef? We ain't got nothing going on, Chef. We finna get out of here. Man. What, you got something?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you got something.
No,
long
I ain't got nothing. Wednesday.
Yeah, how you doing?
He said, "Get with my belly full." I ain't got nothing.
Oh, come on, Lee.
He said, "Belly, man." I thought he was from up north. He said belly. That's a down south slang, man. You can't use our slang. That shit.
I'm sitting there with my belly full, cool, man.
Yeah. You gotta say stomach, man. You can't say belly.
Kid, say, just listen. Shit. You got stomach. I got a belly.
You got a belly.
Shit, man,
got
right.
A belly. Yeah. All around the world, same song. Well, yeah. Like I said, we'll be racing this weekend. We might have something to talk about Monday. Right.
Glory.
Now we ain't got nothing to talk about.
Glory. Glory.
Yeah.
Yes.
Glory. Yeah, they're talking about some damn glory. But all right, y'all won't do it. I'll see y'all when I see y'all, man. Y'all have a good holiday if I don't see you. Bye, y'all.
All right, guys. Bye.